As Christians, we are in a war, and all God's people said.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 talks about how we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Soldiers don't worry about the affairs of this life. They worry about winning the war. Amen. Fighting in the war. And as in every war, there are enemies without. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, 39, when Jesus was explaining the parable of the wheat and tares, when he said, "An enemy hath sowed the field," he went on to explain it to his disciples. He said, "The enemy is the devil." And listen, we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Amen. We're going to talk about that a lot on Sunday morning. But we have another enemy, not only Satan, but the Bible says, "Love not the world." 1 John 2:15. Not only Satan, but society, our enemies without. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Joe Kelly brought me an article today that there's a godless rock band that's going to be at the Jackson County Fair. They're so godless, their name is Godsmack. God, and listen to me. For too long, we have expected the world to be our friend. They are not our friend. The world and its system are not our friends. And really all that's happening are the lines are getting a little more clearly drawn, folks. Amen. And it's time to decide which side do we stand on. Amen. So there are enemies without, and we can guard against those enemies. Like in a military, if you've got enemies without, you can set watch, you can post guards, you can shore up your flanks. But there's not only enemies without, there's also an enemy within. And we learn about it in this text. Not only Satan and society, but self is an enemy, isn't it? Self is an enemy within. The flesh. Look at verse number 18 in our text. And Paul sums up the enemy within here. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth a few good things." Not so many bad things. No good thing. Do you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh, listen, this flesh is rotten. I don't know if yours is, mine is. Actually, I do know yours is. It says right here. Amen. It's rotten. It's rotten, amen? And it's our enemy within. And it leads to, listen, the flesh leads to self-will, self-indulgence, self-seeking behavior, self-complacency, self-glorifying, amen? It's all summed up in the flesh. I want to give you 4 points tonight about the enemy within our flesh. And I hope you'll maybe take a pen and write these down and hope they'll be a help to you. Well, number one, the reality. The reality. Let me say this, 3 points under there. This flesh of ours is difficult. It's difficult. Matter of fact, let me just say this. We have some, how many of you Christians have been saved more than 10 years? Raise your hand. You've been in here saved more than 10 years. Okay, plenty of you. Amen. It's harder to be a Christian than it is to be lost. Do you know why? The lost man has no war going on. He does what he wants to do. Amen? But the Christian that still has the flesh tugging at him, and then he also has the Spirit of God, because when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. Amen. It seals us. He seals us. And what He does is He puts that spiritual check on the flesh. The flesh still wants to do what it wants to do. I don't care if you're 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. The flesh still wants to serve itself. But the Spirit says, mm-mm, don't. Don't do that. And by the way, praise God, that's why we ought to memorize the Word of God, because He brings verses to mind. Don't do that. Amen. So it's difficult. This flesh is difficult. Number two, under the reality, the flesh was not eradicated when you trusted Christ, as some of our charismatic brethren would try to help us believe. I remember one time, Brother Leonard, I was out soul winning, and this lady in this neighborhood, she called me over. This well-upholstered African-American lady called me over, and she said, honey, I see what you're doing out here trying to reach these kids, and I love it. She says, but you need to go a little deeper. And what she meant was, if I could jabber in some language, apparently that was deep. By the way, it's nothing deeper than knocking on doors. Nothing deeper than trying to reach people for Christ. But I remember meeting this fellow brother along those lines, and he said he had reached a state of sinless perfection. And it was my privilege, Brother Boston, to inform him that he had just messed it up by lying. Listen, this flesh, we've got it till the day we die or the rapture. And it's not eradicated. And listen, it always wants to do what it wants to do. And it never wants to do anything spiritual. Okay? So the reality is the flesh is difficult. Flesh was not eradicated when you trusted Christ. And then lastly, I already mentioned it. You will fight this war unto death, the flesh and the spirit. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary the one to another. Okay, that's Galatians 5:17. So the reality, number two, and this is important. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I hope you'll get this second point. Not only the reality, but the vulnerability. The vulnerability. I want you to notice, first of all, the example of vulnerability. Look at verse number 15. Here's the Apostle Paul. I believe, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest man in the New Testament, the one who wrote half of your New Testament, is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit. Here's the example of the vulnerability. Look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Okay, if jump down, if you would, to verses 18 and 19. Similar verses, and we'll explain them, amen. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Paul is saying here, he's giving us an example of vulnerability. Now, if there's anybody, Brother Holy, I would have thought was not vulnerable, it would have been the Apostle Paul. But he says, look, the things I know I shouldn't do, I do them. And the things I know I should do, I don't do them. You know why? Because he had a vulnerable flesh. Just like you and I. Amen? A vulnerable flesh. You see the vulnerability, the example. We see his exhortation in Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Just over a few pages there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Gas, Electric, and Phone Company, if you're trying to remember it. Amen? Trying to remember the books of the Bible there. That's a good way to do it. Philippians chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 1. You catch up when you get there. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, mother. It doesn't say mother in there. I inserted that. Amen. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in what? The flesh. Then it says this, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness is which is in the law, blameless. He says this, listen, I'm exhorting you, put no confidence in your flesh. If for some reason you think that God's laws and God's rules don't apply to you, let me just tell you, if anybody has a right to have confidence in their flesh, Paul said, it's me. And he laid out his pedigree of being a Pharisee, okay? But he exhorts us. Listen, the reason why people give in to the flesh is because they don't realize its vulnerability. They think, listen, I've been saved a while, it's okay, I can take down these guards, I can take down these walls in my life, I can watch that program, I can listen to that, I can log on to that internet site. And listen, it's because we do not factor in our vulnerability. Ladies and gentlemen, the flesh is always vulnerable. It's vulnerable. So we see the reality, we see the vulnerability. Number three, we see the responsibility. Let me just give you 4 points on this. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 17. We've already read it, but it's important in our responsibility to fight the enemy within. It says, verse 17 of Galatians 5, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. So what's the first responsibility? You have to recognize the war. You have to recognize the war. There are Christians that live their entire Christian life never realizing they're in a war, and all they do is give in to their flesh. God doesn't want that. God wants us to recognize that we are in a war. And by the way, that war is all about choices we make. Choices we make. Amen. So recognize the war. Secondly, look there at verse number 16. We have a responsibility not only to recognize the war, but it says this in verse 16. Of this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jump down to verse 25. It says there, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what, church? Walk in the Spirit. So what's our responsibility? Not only to recognize the war, but to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know what that means? Let the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God make questionable decisions for you. That'll help you to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Because listen, who wrote this book? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Amen. And walking in the Spirit will prevent us from walking in the flesh. Do you know why the founders of this country founded the principles of limited government? It's easy. Because people were governed by the Spirit of God. Listen, when you're governed by the Spirit of God, you don't need much government. You really don't, amen? Because He's going to do a much better job than any politician we could put in office. Amen? And so it talks about here walking in the Spirit. So here's the responsibility. Recognize the war. Walk in the Spirit. There in verse 17, again, we learn of this flesh lusting against the Spirit. Can I say this? Choose your master. Choose your master. The flesh or the Spirit? Now look at verse 19, if you would. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So here's the master that is the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. By the way, not a very good master. Amen? Not a very good master. But then in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Choose your master. If you serve the flesh, mark it down. Eventually, you're going to end up in that laundry list. If you walk in the Spirit, you'll be governed by love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Choose your master. Look at verse 24. The responsibility is to recognize the war, to walk in the Spirit, to choose your master. Look at verse 24. It says there, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Number four under responsibilities, crucify that flesh. Crucify that flesh. We had a teacher in Bible college. His name was Jim Kanucky. He was the bus man. And we used to call him, he had great, just one of those great names. He was Brother Numchucky, Brother Kentucky, amen. Just, you know, Kanucky, you could just have fun with that. Brother Kanucky got into the chapel lineup. I think this was the last time he preached in chapel, as a matter of fact. He took a dummy. It was just a dummy, and it had hands that Velcroed together. And he wore it like a cape for his whole message. He just walked around and he wore it. And he was preaching about the flesh. How the flesh just hangs off you. Amen. It slows you down. And he got to the end of his message, Brother Morris, and he took that thing off. He ripped the Velcro off. He threw it down and he stomped on it and he yelled and screamed. He said, "Mortify the flesh! Mortify the flesh!" And he was giving us an illustration. Of course, we were shocked, amen, and then we laughed a little bit. But that is exactly what we need to do. We need to keep our heel on that flesh, spiritually speaking, and not let it up. Don't watch that garbage on the television. You start reading something and it's going down a lurid path, shut that newspaper. Amen, amen. Don't give the flesh an opportunity to breathe. As Dennis Eckersley, the pitcher, said, when you've got your foot on somebody's throat, you put them down. Amen. And that's what we need to do all the time to our flesh. According to this verse, we need to crucify it. Crucify those affections and lusts that war against God. Just listen, ladies and gentlemen, put them on the cross. Put that flesh on the cross. We're to crucify our flesh. Lastly, tonight, the reality, the vulnerability, the responsibility, and then lastly tonight about the enemy within, the accountability. Ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day where we will have to give an account for how we battled this flesh, how we lived the Christian life. And I don't know about you, but I know I haven't all, I've been like Paul. Where he said, you know what, the things I shouldn't do, I did. If Paul said it and meant it, I could say it with confidence. There's been times where I've walked in the flesh. But what I love about Paul and his accountability says this: but I don't want to. But I don't want to. I'm glad that I can stand here before you today and say, you know what, I have walked in the flesh, but I don't want to. You read Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, amen, who walk not after the flesh, but in the Spirit, amen. He said, hey, if you've got the Spirit dwelling in you, you can't enjoy the flesh. Big difference from back when you used to be lost and you could enjoy your flesh. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an enemy within. Let's be aware of the reality of it. Amen? We have flesh and it wars against us. Let's beware of the vulnerability. The fact is it does what it wants to do, and we're exhorted to put no confidence in our flesh, no matter how many years we've been saved. Let's recognize the responsibility. There's a war going on, and we're to walk in the Spirit. We have to choose our master, and we need to crucify that flesh, and let's recognize our accountability. We're going to stand eyeball to eyeball with God one day and give an account. Let's give a good account, amen? Let's keep that flesh under wraps. Father,